smaller retail shops that were already wounded pre-pandemic are not really in a great place. So it really made the strong stronger and the weak even weaker. So it's been interesting to see that.
Hi, I'm Vivek Kartha, and welcome to Deconstructed. Every episode, we're discussing the future of the world's largest asset class, real estate, through the eyes of the people who live and breathe it. Thank you for joining us, and let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by Workspace. Workspace has built a better way to manage real estate without all the clicks. With a suite of modern, intuitive products for commercial real estate operators, Workspace reduces the friction between assets, data, and people, allowing CRE professionals to streamline all their daily operations across property management, asset management, and beyond. Learn more at www.goworkspace.com. Hi, everyone. We are here today with Jessica Partington, who is a senior property manager at Daniel Corporation based out of Birmingham, Alabama. Jessica, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start by giving some of our listeners who are less familiar with Birmingham a little bit of the state of play on the ground. What are you seeing? How is the city trending following the last year? And I know there's been a lot of interesting growth and development that we've talked about going on there.
Birmingham, Alabama is a very interesting market in the sense that the 2022 World Games are coming to Birmingham and has really encouraged a lot of vibrancy and a lot of interest in the area, which we hope will continue throughout the World Games and after. There's a lot of industry, a lot of tech industry coming to town. From my understanding, the Shipt corporate office has relocated to Birmingham. There's a lot of good things happening and a lot of promise for some good momentum in the future. As far as the trending, seeing people coming back to work and, you know, getting out there and playing, we're seeing more and more every day. And so it's really encouraging and really exciting to see the city come alive again after what has really been such a dismal time in our industry as a whole. We rely on people and rely on foot traffic. And so it's been pretty exciting to see that pick back up.
Maybe we can spend some time talking about that inflection point. It feels like we're coming out of the fog of the last year and some change. And if we start with just the commercial real estate industry as a whole and how you think about property management working well coming out of this and resuming work into the office, where does your mind go on things you're focused on, things you're having your staff focus on, things you're guiding tenants towards?
The last year has been a bit of a reflection point for our team. During the deepest part of the pandemic, you know, it was really just our greatest desire to continue lines of communications with our tenants, whether that be advising them that if they chose to come into the office, that, you know, we had a host of situations that were available to make their visit safe. It was looking inward to make certain that our processes and procedures were very streamlined because obviously operating costs, we want those as low as possible during a time when occupancy in the buildings are just not there. I think as a whole, and now going forward, we really have focused on trying to collectively welcome people back again, make sure that they feel very safe, making sure that the building is very clean and welcoming for them to come back in.
I'm curious, when you were doing those studies and looking deeper at operating expenses and managing through, did you learn anything about the way that the building was being operated or the way you did work that might influence the way you resume when you come back?
Yeah, you know, I think it's part of a broader conversation as well. Just as a spectator to some of the other industries, I think it would be very interesting to see what type of services return and what types of services never come back. For us, a lot of times, you realize that you can live without something and it doesn't make a huge impact because it's just the way you've always done it. You can sometimes live with a shorter duration or a slower frequency or, you know, so I think there was a lot to be learned from that. And it did really force a hard look at, you know, where the money goes and what the best use of those funds are. And so it was really positive, I think, overall, just given that we were able to find some new places to cut where we wouldn't have thought to cut, and really required us to be a little creative, which is always fun in property management.
Anything specific that was formerly in the essential bucket that now you're second guessing and think, ah, that might be more non-essential?
Boy, I tend to think everything's essential. The short answer to that is no. I think that there are things that you can certainly do less frequently. You know, if there are not as many people in the building, you certainly don't have to clean windows as often as you would. And if your restaurants are closed, then, you know, you can pressure wash the outsides and they don't get dirty as often. And so, you know, I think frequency really was the key. It wasn't so much, we run a very lean operation as it stands. And so there were a lot of frequency adjustments that were made, which have made us more aware that as we, you know, slide back into a greater occupancy, that we can ramp those up rather than just flipping it back to a standard operating level.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I know you have a deep passion and background in retail. And so let's spend a little bit of time talking about the future of retail and how you think things may change going forward. Do you mind sharing just some of your larger thoughts on the space and then we can dive deeper?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting to just have witnessed the scenario with retail that happened during the pandemic. You know, a lot of places were shut down, a lot of service industries were completely cut off, and that really, really wounded the retail industry. I think it's been very interesting, specifically in Alabama. I'm unsure if nationwide has trended much of the same way, but we have noticed that people have held on to some savings during the shutdown, and they have sort of generated this cabin fever, if you will. And so I've noticed that there's been a large influx in spending in different areas, you know, furniture during, of course, the pandemic. Now people are vacationing, so the hospitality is really booming in that sense as well. So overall, holistically, I think retail is in a much better place than I would have anticipated at this point. I think a lot of very prudent tenant reps were able to negotiate some favorable terms during the shutdown that have put them in a great place. I think a lot of the smaller retail shops that were already wounded pre-pandemic are not really in a great place. So it really made the strong stronger and the weak even weaker. So it's been interesting to see that.
We hear a lot that retail is going through some, you know, fundamental changes, or all these forces, you know, tech and shopping online, and like you said, the large getting larger. Do you think the fundamental product, the long-term retail space leases, needs to change? And have you observed any more creativity on how we can encourage more risk-taking or smaller companies getting to be able to participate in what normally is a pretty onerous and burdensome thing to sign up for a long-term lease if you don't know if your venture is viable?
Okay. So, you know, I think for the retail sector, my opinion is that we will see a continued growth towards micro leasing where, you know, tenants that would maybe have an online exclusive brand are testing the waters in a larger area. Small companies that can't afford or don't want the hassle of staffing and overhead and physical occupancy, they have that opportunity to come into a brick and mortar marketplace, see how they like it, see what sales are like, get actual response to the brand in front of people rather than, after a product is purchased. So it's a bit of a market research thing for them. I think that the pandemic has scaled back staffing at a lot of places, specifically, the food service industry is really struggling in the retail sector right now. And again, as we said, I think it'd be very interesting to see if a lot of those retail services come back. People have gotten very used to a system where it's less about the creative experience as you're going into these retail environments. And I'm very interested to see if people will continue sort of streamlining those services or if they're going to continue to roll out the red carpet, if you will.
Yeah. Do you think this is an acceleration? The last year and a half was an acceleration of a trend in terms of how retail has changed and footprints have changed? Or do you see this more as an opportunistic time for retail investors, owners, operators to get in and inspire and change the way the future of retail may look?
I can only say that I think that it's somewhat of a hybrid. I think that the things that were going to happen anyway, but it pushes the agenda to a place where only the strong survive, really. So if something was trending in a negative manner, it was going to go ahead and slide it in that direction. But it does give some teams an opportunity to rebrand or rethink how they're operating and moving something that's really positive forward.
Last question on retail. When you observe the demographic shifts, maybe from big cities to smaller cities like Birmingham, from city centers out to suburbs, do you see Birmingham sort of ending up as a net winner out of the trends that are happening in the broader U.S. economy?
I think as we have always seen in our nation, it waxes and wanes. I think you will oftentimes see over the course of the history of the United States, people want to go into the city centers and then they push out to the suburbs and then they gravitate towards city centers and they push out to the suburbs. I think as of right now, we have hit the trend of a resurgence to city centers. And I think that Birmingham is very positively positioned to absorb that and to really make an impact in the city, because my personal opinion is that the downtown Birmingham area is so steeped in history with the civil rights movement and all of these wonderful old architecture pieces in and around the area, that it has some built-in authenticity and charm that a lot of other places don't have. And so I think that they have a wonderful opportunity to capitalize on that, given that it's positioned so well in the fact that it's now a place where we are enjoying that city center market.
I'm curious a little bit about what advice you'd give someone entering property management in light of all these changes and trends we've talked about. And maybe specifically, what's the sort of dream first assignment in today's world for someone that's looking to grow a career in property management?
Oh my goodness. I think a dream first assignment would have to be somewhere that is well established. One of the largest pieces in property management is consistency. Consistency with tenants, consistency with employees and vendors, the building as far as, preventative maintenance is concerned. And so coming in as a property manager, the biggest piece I would say is that if you have a built-in structure system for you that is homed in consistency, then it really allows you to come in and learn a building, learn a staff, learn a company in a way where you're not necessarily worried about having to come in and create a whole new structure. You just follow the structure that's already existing. But for, you know, a new property manager, it's really fun. And I know I've heard it said before, but it's, there's no 2 days that are the same. So if you're the type of person that, you know, likes to check all the boxes, then it's not the role for you. When I initially started this, I thought I had to be a great people person or a mathematician, and I'm not either. And so, but I think that property managers, because we are a bit of the boots on the ground sort of people, you have to be personable and human, and you have to respect people because, you know, having buildings, having these assets, it's really a two-way street. You know, we need them, they need us. And so you have to find a happy medium. And so we are the people certainly that are trying to make sure that everyone is happy rather than, you know, a particular group. We have responsibilities to owners and to tenants and to vendors and to customers if it's retail, you know, so it's a whole different ecosystem of players from in the property management sector. So it's a lot, but it is very rewarding because we can step back and see people do what they do, and it goes off without a hitch. And you know that that's the work that you and your team have put in.
I think that's great. Great advice. Last question. What's one change you would hope to see in your industry that you've dedicated your career to going forward? And take that as broad or as narrow as you like.
Oh, that's an easy question. When I first started in commercial real estate, I worked with a ton of men. And I feel like this has been touched on before by Kimberly Morgan that you had a few weeks ago on the podcast. And she just said it so eloquently. There's just not enough diversity in commercial real estate. We're getting better all of the time. You know, 15, 20 years ago, there were not very many female property managers, and now most of them are. But I would like to see a continued progression toward a lot, very C-level women in commercial real estate, because I feel like we've reached the apex of that, where we have a lot of women with experience in commercial real estate, but not a lot of women decision makers in commercial real estate. So I think that that would be a very important change.
I love that. That's a great one. One that I think many of us would get on board with.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the time, Jessica. Pleasure having you on.
I appreciate it so much.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening. And as always, a very special thank you to our guests. We'll be back soon, so please subscribe to Deconstructed on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. More details can be found at www.goworkspace.com/podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Workspace. Workspace has built a better way to manage real estate without all the clicks. With a suite of modern, intuitive products for commercial real estate operators, Workspace reduces the friction between assets, data, and people, allowing CRE professionals to streamline all their daily operations across property management, asset management, and beyond. Learn more at www.goworkspace.com.